Paul's quite a salesman, yeah?
Sell it to him, man. Shake him up.
Look, I live in quite a beautiful space, as some of you this morning saw. We had a walk. But for the last, over the last 5 years, I spent a lot of time looking at sewage in a big city north of here. And I wonder what I did in my past lifetime to have deserved this, but it's quite heavy at times. But being able to look over one's shoulder at any time and see Pichandikulan or the other Oroville forest, the beauty anyway of Oroville, is nurturing, keeps you going. About five years ago, the people that run that place called Chennai, they came here and asked for some help. They had a problem. They had a serious problem. They had 60 acres of perhaps the most valuable real estate in the city. And the environmentalists or activists had won a court case against development. There were all sorts of plans, you can imagine. They had a bus stand there, they had an industrial area, they had also Japanese gardens, they had plans for everything. But the activists said, no, this is an urban wetland and it needs to be protected and restored. I think the problem was that sometimes there's a lot of sort of armchair ecologists and whatever, they actually knowing how to do it or getting in there, the government didn't have quite the confidence that the people in Chennai could do it, or also that they didn't like them so much. It was like government and the environmentalists. We were seen, perhaps, I think, as something a bit in between, a bit sort of strange and a bit, yeah? We were a bit exotic and we were down. They knew we knew something about, you know, ecology, so they came and asked us. This place, whoops, what happens here? Is that right? It was an area similar to other Barmouth estuaries, which you find a lot of along the Tamil Nadu coast. In fact, the landscape of this Coromandel coast is a series of wetlands. It's very important, this, because in regional planning, one should see it as a series of wetlands from Sriharikot coming through Chennai. And Chennai is built on just wetlands, marshes, wetlands. It's a couple of fishing villages that just grew like topsy and, you know, out of control, and now we've got this mayhem. A lot of those wetlands in Chennai have been filled in, yeah? But this one, this small one, at the mouth of the Adyar River, was similar to ones that we'd been studying just north of here, Kalaveli Tank, for instance. The whole area of the green is the Adyar Punga, is the area we're going to be talking about. It's about 60 acres. The rest of the blue of the estuary is about 350 acres, and we ended up doing basically a master plan for the whole area. It's the end of the Adyar River, about 40 kilometers coming down from Chembrambakkam, running through a city. It's one of the two rivers running through Chennai. And not only the rivers running through Chennai, but they're interlinked by the Bakkiyam Canal, the different drains interlinked the whole thing. So you can't clean up one bit without cleaning up the rest. What we did when we were given the job, many Aurovillians were involved at the beginning. There were differences on whether it was an environmental program or whether it was an architectural program or whether it was just cleaning up the water program. But a group of us felt that it really did involve the people of Chennai. And so when through different governments. Jayalalitha liked our ideas. Then the tsunami came. Then we lost a year. And then she lost the government. And so we had to start again with Mr. Stalin. And it just went on and on. But finally, we were given a job of doing a master plan. We spent a year doing that. It involved many people in Oroville, people in England, in Hong Kong, in Australia, and other people in India, particularly in Bangalore, House of Consultants, Idea Design in Cochin. And it was a lot of study. So it was the land use patterns of what was happening around that patch of green, which was traditionally an urban wetland. About 2 square kilometers of land draining in through that into the estuary and then out to the sea. A bow-mouth estuary is something that closes up during the year. It opens up in the monsoon, but then it closes up, and that's often the problem with rivers. Behind that, the river gets really stinky. It can't get out. That's okay if you didn't have a city polluting it, and etc. But in Chennai, it's bad. We looked at all the development plans, the highways that were going to come, the ideas that the government had for decongesting roadways. We had to study all of that. We came out in the end with a lot of documents. The planning concepts were particularly to protect the edge. It was protect the edge with mangrove walks and coastal interpretation centers. That's the problem so much in India. Between the city and the water, there is nothing, and the water just becomes a receptacle of everything, whether it's garbage, whether it's sewage, etc. When these people came to Oroville, in the first meeting, I remember, they said, look, we know Oroville, we like it, we work with Orovillians, but it's a very hidden place, you can't find it. It's around the corner, there's no signs, you can't get to it. Are you willing to bring, you people willing to bring some of the best of Oroville to the middle of Chennai? That was a good way of starting a meeting. And it went from there, because many technologies and influences have come into this plan from the Orovillians. Urban walkways along waterfronts, that was the basic idea, protected. It was an estuarine system. We'd been studying the estuarine system of the Kalaveli watershed just to the north of Oroville. This big 75 square kilometer water body that drains into the coast. We knew what whether it was the frogs or the prawns or the mangroves that should be there, the birds, the animals. We'd been working in that area for decades. So there was some, these pictures are pictures that we took. And this is such a similar area. It's so similar, the Adyar estuary to the estuary at Marakanam. In the end, when the master plan was finished, this documents, books of data and plans, one of the things that we did say from the beginning was that you need a focused research. We need an Adyar Watershed Research Institute. We need a restoration body for the whole of the town. We said this is useless to just create a beautiful little park, but surrounding a sewer, because it's connected to the other rivers, through the Mandalam Drain, through the Buckingham Canal, to everywhere else in Chennai. You've got to have an overall authority. This was something we recommended. And it's interesting that just a few months ago, the Chennai Waterways Authority has been established with the same group that is managing this project, has taken that on to bring all the players onto the same table. PWD, Metro Water, the corporation. Because generally people don't want to work together. But it's because from the efforts over the last now 5 years and all these meetings, all these plans, that Mr. Stalin has gone out to San Antonio, he's gone to Singapore, he's come back, and he's got now information he really wants to do it. At the same time, we know that 20 years ago, Mr. Karunanidhi then was working on the Kumbh. The politicians, they realize that unless you clean this water up, we're going to die. Chikungunya, cholera, whatever. It's a mess. I think that's what sort of interested me then and has driven us. This challenge of water, this incredible that we can accept to desecrate, pollute, insult water so much to the point where you is in the Kum River now, completely dead, not a fish in sight. Adyar's a bit better. But that we can do that and think that we're a high-tech civilization, etc. What is it, Lucas? It was in last century. Okay, the sewage was put in underground in England, so the cholera and stuff stopped, but it still went into the Thames. It's hardly underground in Chennai. There's only about two-thirds of the sewer connected, you know. It's still running, even open sewers and into the river. So it's these questions, these things that you'll hear from people like Lucas, I think, tomorrow about it's this fallacy of mixing sewage with water. And that's the problem. The vertebrate diversity surveys that we studied from Chemburambakam down to the estuary during the master plan, this was so important, to find out the hotspots of biodiversity, to find out where life still was, that if we did the work properly, then it would spread out again. The ideas for transformation, that's easy. I mean, it's easy. It's Photoshop, but it's the right species. You can see it's imaginations, what we talked about this morning. Yeah? You just, yeah. I mean, but they don't have it often. You put this in front of the chief minister, and actually he asks for it back. Wow, what's this? People have forgotten that you can imagine. Mr. Lennon told us that, but imagine. I mean, it's so important to imagine. To imagine. And not to be scared of it. Like we talked this morning about retrofitting. Look at something that's stupid. Just see how it could be. But this was, they're just a few images from this big master plan thing that we put together. We also worked with people like Anna University, intensely. Also with New College, with Stella Maris, but particularly with Anna University, who did the water studies. Because this is delicate. This is salt water mixing with sweet water. It's an urban watershed of that 2 or 3 kilometers of water coming off the streets, going through this sort of filter of a wetland that we were trying to recreate. But to prove, you know, that you were helping, if you can keep in wetland, in stormwater retention areas, some of the water, to keep the water sweet, because we know one of the biggest problems of Chennai and all over along the coast, the wells are all going salty, big time. In South Chennai, it's finished. You just get salt water out of your taps. So the more water you can keep, and that's what we were trying to do too. But to prove that, Anna University came in, they worked with us, their laboratory was available, and their report was part of the master plan. And that has gone on. The strength of this project, that the research is going on continuously, monitoring, evaluating what's what we're trying to do. Yeah, you had to measure the sewage coming in. So you do a V-notch and you've got a measurement. When you've got a measurement, you've got some figures and you've got some photos or a video and you put it on the chief minister's table and say, hey buddy, you know, what's the point of working here and trying to make a park if this sewage is coming in? And then you start the process of stopping the sewage. So the first thing, in that whole area, we stopped the sewage inflow. Just the illegal connections went pipe by pipe, drain by drain. Made a lot of enemies of the officials, made a lot of friends too and respect. We worked with the guys on the ground who knew the pipes and where the illegal connections were and got them all putting into the right pipe into the sewage lines. And this was the process. It was like, and got the neighbors, got the people in the streets involved, got the people involved in this project. We ended up with this. This is basically the master plan. It's all there, whether it's medicinal plant gardens or sacred groves or whatever, but the zones. It is a stormwater retention infiltration zone, this lighter blue area here. You've got the swale going right through down and linking up to the estuary and the sea. That is where the stormwater goes. It can filter through into this also. By the time you get down there, you're planting mangroves. On the right-hand side, it's getting brackish water. The brackish water can come up about halfway into the park. So, the retention area, the stormwater discharge area, and then the brackish water wetland at the end. But it was it was presented in August to the Chief Minister, and they sort of accepted it. Then we had some problems with not so much environmentalists. Yeah, in a way, the environmentalists. Some people were strict. Some people said, this is great, but we don't want any people going into this area. The people that had fought and won a high court case against the government to protect this area said, this is just going to be for the frogs and the fish. No people can go in. And we said, hang on, I don't think this is practical. One, the government won't, we know they won't agree with that. We need some connection. And environmental education is important. We said, make this the biggest classroom in Chennai. Make this the place where all the school kids come. Make this where the Adiaponga bus goes out with a message from this to the schools of Chennai. And we spent about 5 months in the High Court of Chennai arguing that in front of the Chief Justice. But we came to a compromise at the end of 2007 in Pizza Hut, Tinaga. It was great. And the Chief Justice, everybody accepted it. And then about 6 months later, went through that process, BOQs, do all that stuff, and then tendering it. And nobody else was stupid enough to take on the job. And we got the job to implement it. So I'm just a government contractor, which is a terrible fate, actually. And so you had 2.5 years, that period started 2.5 years we had to do the job. We got another 4 months, and there's a lot of pressure. But the work started. Yeah, this is a bit about the plan. Okay, you've heard all this. We knew a bit about the forest. We knew about the hillocks, the grasslands, the reeds, the marshes, the mangroves. We knew we had our technology fairly good. We had some really good connections to clever environmentalists and experts who could help with that. We also said, yeah, we do need an environment centre, an education centre. There was one small building there that we were allowed by the High Court to rebuild. And this, we said, we're going to make an education centre there. Following what, Paul said, is a big part of our work. Communicate. We got a message, we got a song, we sing it. It's not bad. And now let's share it with the world. This was the important part. Ideas from our programs in Oroville, in Nadukupom. We also had an idea. We said, look, next to it, there was about 3 or 4 acres of wasted land, an old metro water sump, and a sort of an old office building full of about sort of rat holes, 50 rat holes called offices that, yeah, about 6 months ago we managed to bulldoze. We were given that. Another 3 acres on the periphery of the park to create a green centre. This was designed by Sharma Dalvi in Oroville. First, it's gone through many changes since, but we're about to sort of start building it. Very interesting structure, but how to inspire people, the people of Chennai, have a green centre, a community centre. I guess I grew up in Australia where environment centres were the places of political green politics and ideas and community actions, and they were just great. And this is what we're trying to bring down here. Every suburb should have its green centre. It's there that the people work out, solve their problems with the officials, but a powerful place to inspire with all sorts. Okay, this centre will have its exhibition space, interpretation space, its green tea shop, there's an organic restaurant coming up, things like that, a place where people can sing green in Chennai. Maybe in about 3 generations, we might have a green party in India. Anyway. Yeah, some Senate seats. Take a bit of a lesson from Australia. I come from Tasmania, you know. That's the problem in a way. A really beautiful place. And Yeah, a few months ago, we had an election. There were 25 seats, and 10 were Liberal, 10 were Labor, and 5 were Green. And they hold the balance of power. It's just amazing. I mean, things in Australia are moving. So, yeah, our friend came and planted a tree with Oroville children and Orovillians. Mr. Tripathi, our former Secretary of Oroville on the right-hand side. Anyway, Karangali, I think, yeah. But, okay. It's a bit like after the inauguration of Oroville, you know? I mean, it's big, big fanfare and thousands of people, and the next day there was probably lots of papers blowing across the barren plateau of Oroville and no one to be seen. And that was the reality, you know, in February 1968. We had to get down to the work. Our ground reality in June 2008 was still this. Was still grey water coming in. This was the park. This is what we were given in to work with. 300 water buffaloes. There was people doing drugs. There were prostitution. There was 400 encroachments. It was a heavy place. It was full of Velikata Mulu, the prosopis tree, stray dogs. It was just a normal urban wasteland toilet. Yeah, so that's what we were given, even after doing that master plan, because you couldn't start working, really. It had been a dump ground for 40 years. You know what happens in the urban, you just chuck it over the fence. This was an empty area. Try and fill it in so that we could build something on it. That was, I bet the government encouraged it, yeah? After we signed the document to start the work, in one night, 300 lorry loads of rubble was brought into the park. That's the gate. So it was quite heavy duty. So we started some work and we learned all about these toys. I'd never done it before. I'm just sort of an old gardener from Oroville, but we had to learn about these things. And we moved a lot of stuff. In the first 4 months, we moved 60,000 tons of garbage and rubble. And put under where they were building highways or appropriate places. It all had to go into very appropriate places. But it started to form itself. We took all this rubbish out and made the wetlands. You see, June 2008, the same place. By December, we'd created that. And you turn round and looking westward, and that's in the same place, June, December. And you see the little trees coming in there already. Then I planted a lot of seedlings. Almost all the seedlings came from Oroville, everything, from botanical and botanical gardens, whatever. I think we calculated about 400 tons of soil. Oroville soil is in the middle of Chennai, Glen. Does that make you happy? I'm waiting for a bill from the secretary or something. It's scary, but I think it's a good thing occultly that we've sort of, you know, got that nice bits of laterite and Oroville compost there in the middle of Chennai. But we had little islands often, so we had these coracle boats. We'd put the seedlings in and get them across. And about 90,000 seedlings, probably up to about 200 indigenous species have been planted. And to recreate this green edge, what would be the coastal vegetation? We call it coastal vegetation, TDF. For diplomatic reasons, we call it the coastal vegetation. And those species, they all started flowering and fruiting, and then the bugs come back and the butterflies. And I think we've got 40 different sorts of butterflies there. And the monitor lizards are back. There's mongoose already, a star tortoise. The processes go on. And these critical signs of regeneration, the mangroves. Mangroves are difficult. We've got 5 species of mangroves coming successfully. See, that's mangrove height. And none of the vegetation, it's just perhaps 1.5 years old, 1.5 years old. Quite interesting. And the mangrove associate fauna, it's gradually spreading out into the pong, these lovely crab populations and the frogs. And when you get to the, I think in the paper yesterday there was a, and there was a picture of two of our snakes having some fun in the Deccan Chronicle. The white-bellied sea eagle, of course, is the top. That's the top of the chain. We're just building on top of a mound next to one of the highways and adjacent to the park, a big sort of 4 meter high eagle statue. It's our latest folly, but I think we'll get it done. And because it's, if the eagle's there, then we're starting to make it. Yeah, it's the top of the pyramid. And there he comes every day and for his lunch. Fish, 10 kilo fish, 10 kilos, one fish in the Ponga at the moment. Good. The monitoring goes on, whether it is water monitoring, mega population studies, very important to see sizes or species of fish. 13 species at the beginning, we noted, now we're up to 34. This is what it's starting to look like, and but it's also this interactive area where using old stones, we don't use cement much, it's stones and some of our ferrous cement artworks, little huts made of bamboo. People have come to terms with that. They actually quite like it, that there isn't, we're surprised, but secretaries and ministers come and they say, oh, that's different, but they don't sort of mind it so far. Yeah? It sort of brings back memories. Yeah? It's a bit wild. We're trying to bring something wild to the middle of Chennai, a little bit of wilderness. Yeah? The spirit of the sloth bear or the tiger, at least the spirit, if not the sloth bear yet, but something a bit wild. And that's in everybody's memory too. Yeah. A lot of work with stones and cut up of stones and just natural landscaping. The bridge is made out of a tree that I planted 35 years ago. We got 5 bridges like that. It's quite nice. A little nursery building in the background. And then our artwork, we paint, we sculpt, we paint the sculptures. But it's about the fauna of this area. So these get put into education areas or the forms of nature. It's quite fun. We've training some interesting young artists there. And it's good. The kids can sit on Russell's vipers and get a lesson on snakes and this was all made in Oroville. It's all made in Oroville and taken up there. Some of them weigh more than a ton. But these are just ferrous cement. But part of this, these are just stone. Just ordinary stone painted on. Interpretation, the cycle of life, the evolution of life, sacred groves. You can see in the background, it's interesting, it's an adjacent building, an old ladies, war widows association. So we actually painted the adjacent building and painted pictures on it, and so includes it in the park itself. It's a nice, friends come by sometime and sort of, I mean, it's important because it is their project. Of course, they want a beautiful park, and Mr. Starin or Mr. Karanandi will open it on Pongal Day. And I think it's quite important for them, these successes, because they want to be re-elected next year. But it's a fine line. It's pushing. But his interest is good. He'll come at 6:30 in the morning and his sand shoes without too many AK-47s and have a nice walk, and that's good. Little bits of sharing with these people too. And more people are coming. The park is not open yet, as you know, but not for another 5 months. But many people can come, and I think it's being appreciated. Here, it's an interesting group. This is Friends of the Ariaponga. We wrote this in the master plan. We said, no, this... And it was even recommended from the first meetings with secretaries under Jayalalitha. Form an association, form a management structure that is passed above politics, the changes of government. Try and get institutions involved that there's a critical mass, is not one day handed over to the corporation or some dreadful you know, fate like that, yeah, to look after. So the Friends of the Areopoonga has been formed. They meet regularly. They do tree mapping of the area. They go out and find the extraordinary trees in the Adia area, hundreds of years old, things I've never seen before, in old gardens or institutions, not just the Theosophical Society. We're putting that up on a map that will be published. They come here, they're organizing, planning solid waste management strategies, separation at source in the households near to the ponga. The women will separate the plastic from the paper, whatever, you know, in their homes. They'll bring the organic material to the ponga to turn into vermicompost, which then they can take back and grow some flowers, veggies, or medicinal plants. So this group is really active. They have meetings, they have programs with the children. It's completely volunteers. Mrs. Mangalam sitting there. yeah, education. From the beginning, we said we won't do the project unless it's unless we can have an exhibition there from the beginning. Actually, since 3 years, we've had an exhibition that's been open to the public to see the processes of it going, of the project going on. And from that time, we've worked with the local schools. I think we work in 20 schools. We've got eco clubs, green corners, and the kids come to the park. There's some. They're just going across the spillway here on organic gardening. The children from our Oroville villages were involved here teaching the Chennai kids organic gardening in the ponga about 6 months ago. Fauna surveys, art from waste, puppetry workshops. This is Oroville people helping with traditional healers, teaching traditional medicine, summer workshops, campaigns, out in supermarkets with small tips bags, other cloth bags, showing, persuading people not to use plastic. The kids do that. They plant in their schools, green corners. Yeah. And of course, looking at the fauna. This is the Friends of the Areopoonga taking out of the water bodies invasive weeds. Only, I think, 10 days ago. Remember what it was like? That's more or less the same place. It's an effort of, transformation. Trying to bring what we've learned, these humble efforts in Oroville, into the middle of Chennai. Trying to create a space that you can forget about that noisy city for a while. Something like Paul talked of, a garden which just really speaks, that speaks to your soul. And yeah, it's our offering. Thanks. Incredibly polluted still. The water is full of phosphates. It's for a long time you're going to have the wrong sort of weeds and growth and whatever from the water. The methane coming from the garbage, you talk particularly about that, do you?
And wastewater, yeah.
And wastewater. The water quality is improving dramatically in the area, particularly in the stormwater retention area. In the swale, which is the runoff from the city, it's only about 5 months ago, in one morning there was a crack in some contractor, broke something, and in a few hours we had 3,000 cubic meters of raw sewage running into the park. What am I saying? These problems are going to go on. the leaching from the soil around is going to go on for years and years. We feel with this vegetation, it's not eroding back into the water body, any sort of filth. It's really held by extraordinary regrowth and vegetation that's holding this now, the edges. But that leaching is going to go on for a long time. We're watching it. Those figures of the water quality is definitely improving. Anna University is working on that with us. But it's more, there's another area in North Chennai where we changed a dry dump without water, the Wateri dumping ground. And there that was interesting. You could feel sometimes the fumes coming off. And whether, but we also planted a forest on top of that. I don't know whether that answers. I don't have the methane values. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. It's a long-term process. It's a hugely long-term process. This is the problem with doing like a contract. You know, say you got to finish. Finish what? You're just starting some steps. You're starting some steps particularly, as I said in the beginning, in that plan to control the edges. Controlling the edges are really important. If you control the edges, and we've proposed that as a solution, and to many forums, not just us, but that if you gave every 100 meters of every water body, edge of every water body in Chennai, nala, drain, river, to a youth group, a women's group, a community group, yeah, to be in charge of, give them a uniform, give them a responsibility to keep the authorities, yeah, on their toes and to stop any pollution going in. That's one of the solutions. And this is being taken up. World Bank was very interested. It's all this social engineering part, the social fencing. Social fencing we've done in Oroville, of course, from the beginning, but social fencing there. The work with the community around Adyar is a huge part of our work. Our education team, we've got 5-6 people, but then social workers working with the people. We're right next to the police quarters. The police quarters, and they traditionally, they just threw all their garbage over the fence. It took a long, long time. But now we've got a vermicompost unit working with the women's groups in the police quarters. It's about to start. So you work on that, and all this stops this pollution coming in.
How did you make a BOQ for all these different components? I mean, was it one,
That's
how did you quantify it, really?
That's an amazing question. It's the... No, but it has been the
government contract to quantify the effort it goes in to make the art and all the innovative things.
Yeah, this is the exact problem. It's the exact problem. We were, after the master plan was accepted, there was such a rush, such a pressure by Stalin and people to get the project going. They forced a group of people to do a BOQ very fast. And it's a mad BOQ. It's causing incredible problems for exactly that reason. I remember Tripathi, in his wisdom, in one meeting, he was the chief secretary, and he said to all the secretaries, it was one of the first meetings he had, what Mr. Joss and Oroville wants to do, you will not find in the PWD schedule of rates. You will not find it. You've got to use your imagination. You've got to, and this was the critical thing, we shouldn't really have signed. We should have done it by a design, build, operate, transfer. That would have been much better. One amount, and they could have trusted. But nobody trusts. So you got the Tender Transparency Act, yeah? And then you get back to BOQs, which are basically distrust. And we've got a PMC trying to work out what, how do you get frogs into the PWD schedule of rates? It's amazing. An art. Is it an art or is it an interpretations exhibit? You know, the other day I was told that a beautiful bench we were doing was a bench. It wasn't an artwork. And, you know, exactly. Now that's the most interesting challenge.
I find it amazing that in a government job you've managed to do so much with all these limiting factors.
Yes, yeah, so far. There's a lot of pressure, but so far, but it's again this imagination thing. We are driving them crazy from the beginning because it's change of, you know, your changes in your, you've got the BOQ, but changes in the BOQ. And they're getting tired of that. And this is what Raghu was saying this morning when he started. That is the crux of Auroville. That we ain't working for Maggie's farm. We're not. We're not working for anybody except whatever. And we don't have to do this. We do it because we're passionate. And while he was saying this morning, I was just realizing exactly that, that this is dangerous. Being a government contractor for whatever, they can say, but you're just a government contractor. You've got to do this. You've got penalty clause. Never in my life have I been in this situation. And you've got to be very, I don't know, you've got to, because that master plan is done 3-4 years ago. And things change. And say, what do you mean, change? It's written, it's in the BOQ, it's in the master plan. What is it? Well, come on, I had this yesterday. I was in a situation with a lot of people and there was almost shouting. And because we wanted to, we're evolving. Now, it's a fascinating dilemma. And this is this project, and we say it in meetings, two chief secretaries to whatever, the challenge of this project is that crazies like ourselves and can come up and work with institutions like government and sit in the highest forums and convince, do something with imagination. They're terrified of imagination. Yeah.
But it's applicable across country, Josh. I mean, good news is, I mean, we have problems all over.
Yeah.
In every metro, we have so much wastewater, so much wasteland.
Yeah.
Is there in Hyderabad, is there in Delhi, or Bombay?
Yeah.
Any metro, I think you have the same problem.
Yeah. But you find a few little solutions where something's being pulled off. Yeah. It's interesting.